This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, we come before you this morning, Lord God, and Father, we know that we cannot hide anything from you, Lord God. That, Lord, you know our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, our everything. Father, and as our mouths are singing this morning and we are saying we're giving our hearts and our souls and our everything to you, Lord God, I just sense the Holy Spirit is challenging us to really count the cost of saying that and not just saying it because everyone is singing it, but really searching our own hearts and saying, Lord, am I really at that place? Well, I want to really surrender to you and give it all to you. Do I live like that? Does the fruits of my lives testify of that? I'm just going to give us a short moment. Let's just stay in the Lord's presence as we worship and just for a moment reflect in our own lives. Are we really prepared to give it all to our Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, have your way in me? Father, I just want to agree, Lord God, this morning and just reminded, Lord, of Paul's prayers, Lord God, for the churches he planted through his missionary journeys, Lord God, and his prayers for the church to be strengthened, Lord God. And this morning, I just want to pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen us, Lord God, that you'll, legs that is weary, Lord God, or shoulders that is tired, Lord God, Father, come and strengthen us, Lord God. Holy Spirit, strengthen us this morning, Lord. Father, that we will be prepared, Lord God, not in a cheap way to say, Lord, have your will in me, Lord God, but that we are willing to sacrifice, willing, Lord God, to seek your face, Lord God, willing to follow, Lord God, willing to take up a cross, Lord God. Father, willing to serve, willing to give, willing to love, Lord God. Father, come and enlarge our hearts. Give us a greater capacity this morning. Holy Spirit, come and do surgery in our hearts this morning, Lord, to love you more, Lord God, to have a desire to see your kingdom come, Lord, that we will be devoted, Lord God, that we will have discipline, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fight this battle in our own strength. We cannot do it, Lord God, but that you strengthen us, Lord God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Encourage us, Lord God. Strengthen your church this morning. We worship you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I believe God is really speaking to us. In Swakopmund, in Walvis Bay especially, God is really challenging us, not as the world, but as the church, to really see God in prayer. And I think many times it's easy for us to say, God, Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my all. God, I will follow. And then that's the fruit of our lives show that. And you know, I was looking at the wall, and your church is so beautiful, and it says prayer and victory. And I think there will only be victory through prayer, you know, in God's kingdom. Anyone who want to say amen to that? Okay. I believe that is how we will receive our victories. Now, I don't want to lie in the pulpit because that's a very bad thing to do. But I'm going to tell you a story. So, you know, imagine I told you a story about this missionary who's got a heart for the nations. And that person went to all the countries where persecution is really bad. Let's say North Korea, China, and Pakistan, and a lot of the countries in the East where there's amazingly things happening, by the way. And that missionary really gives his life there, and he evangelizes and leads a lot of people to the Lord, let's say for 20 years. And that person is really well known for being a missionary, leading people to Christ. And then that person came back, and the first Christian magazine or television station that got hold of that missionary has an interview with that person, and he asks them or him or her, and they say, but tell us about your prayer life. And imagine that person said, you know, I just prayed here and there for a minute or five, and God used me mightily. Have you ever heard something like that in God's kingdom? So I don't want to say that's the truth. But do we ever hear stuff like that? No, we don't. Okay? We never hear testimonies. All the men of God, God's generals, from the church, the early church, right up till now, if you want to really excel in God's kingdom, you have to be a prayer warrior. We need prayer. And I can only see in our church in Swakopmund, awesome church, guys, the weather is good, rust isn't that bad, Liesl, please consider that, you know. But I can just see, it's not as if we're not praying, but I can see that God really wants to take us deeper. And it's something that there's really agreement in our leaders, that God is placing big things in front of us. And I know through clever strategy or the flesh, we will not see those things coming to life. God is teaching us to pray deeper, with more discipline, with more persistence, etc. And I believe it's something that, as I said, we are busy with, actually in Swakopmund, you're welcome to follow the series, 5 weeks that we're doing and talking on prayer. And I'm just going to share a little bit this morning on how often do we need to pray. Because sometimes, you know, there's older people, there's younger people, and it's important, you know, what does the Word of God teaches us actually as the church about prayer? Now, I really hope you are excited this morning. I really hope you don't say to yourself, oh, another sermon about prayer. Because I can tell you, in my own life, I've got obstacles and challenges that I know God is helping me with, in a sense. And I'm not going to win those battles if I don't learn to pray more according to the Spirit, more with more discipline, okay? Now, who of you, there were times in my life that I really prayed, and I said, God, I trust you for this. God, please, you know, I really want this. God, you know it will be best for me. God, I really want this, etc. God is quiet, and I don't get what I want. And as I'm maturing just a little bit, you know, I'm so thankful to God that he doesn't always give us what we ask for, you know, because he knows better, don't you think? I know there were times and seasons in my life as a Christian that I said, God, I really would like this, and I really would like to have that. But then God knows it will be a distraction to me. It will be something that will possibly make me stumble. It will be a distraction in my life, you know. But I know when I pray according to his will and I seek his kingdom, you know, it's different. So I know in my life, there's times that I thought, God, but why don't you give it to me? But God is a good father. He really knows what we need best. So I'm just going to look at my watch. It's almost 10 o'clock. Okay, my voice is only going to last for 40 minutes. Max, you can relax. In this place with no humidity and fans and all of that. Swakopmund is so different. So when we talk about prayer, you know, we love God and God loves us. We can pray to God, but God will not pray to us. God is awesome. Right through Scripture, we can see all the miracles that God's hand has done, opening the Red Sea right there from the garden. All these amazing things happen. And I believe when we pray, there's such a joy in our hearts. There's something special that we know that God Almighty is God Almighty. And how often we ran into the brick walls and we fail and we get things wrong. And I'm just reflecting in my own life. And I think of how many times, especially as a child even, I made promises to God and I said, God, I promise you I will never do this again. I will never think this again. I will never do this again. And then I just fail completely. Have any of you done something like that? You don't have to raise your hand. Maybe I'm the only one. But I remember, thanks Clarence for that honesty. I know there were times I said, God, I promise you I will never do or think or whatever this again. Just a few weeks later, I'm like, oh God, I failed again. I got it wrong. God, I'm still growing as a Christian. But you know, the joy that we have is that through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, there's this whole process of sanctification. I want to read to you. Now, my friend there at the back, you're going to have to, I gave him a few scriptures, so there isn't everything perfect there at the back with the slides. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. What a beautiful scripture. What a powerful word. of the transformation in our own lives. The transformation from that person that didn't know the Lord, that came to Christ, and how God is sanctifying us, making us through the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. And it's always amazing when you see someone and you saw that person 20 years ago and you see that person now. It's like, wow, it's not the same person anymore. How much you have changed. Yes, I've met Christ. They're supposed to be changed. Things are supposed to change. And we are changed into this glorious image of becoming more like Jesus. We call it being Christ-like. Thinking like Christ, talking like Christ, loving the things that Jesus did. And yes, there's a failure here and there, okay? But slowly but surely, we are being transformed. You know, and we don't stay the same. When we are baby Christians, we pray like baby Christians. We live from milk and not the solid food. And then we grow up and things change a little bit, you know? And I just know in my heart that, as I said to the group as we prayed this morning at intercession, I just see the more we pray, the more we see we're not praying enough. And when we are really honest with ourselves, you know, and we ask ourselves, I'm asking myself, how much, let's say I pray 10 minutes a day. Let's make it easy, 10 minutes. How much of that prayer is kingdom focused and how much of that prayer is carnal focused? My family, and I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for your wife or your children or things like that, your family, nothing wrong with that. But we can't pray 90% for that and 10% for the kingdom, okay? We can't just say here and there from time to time, just like, oh God, please bless the people out there. You agree? God is doing this change in our hearts. And I want to challenge you this morning with a few questions because I know God is challenging me. When we talk about how often we pray and the quality of our prayers, what do we really pray for? How long can you actually stay focused in your prayer life? How many of us pray 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes? You know, when you do a bit of research inside the church, even among pastors, and you see how little prayer there is sometimes, we will be shocked. And sometimes when the needs, when we are baby Christians, especially when the needs are bigger, you know, we like to pray a lot for ourselves and our lives and our pressure, especially at the end of the month, you know. Or I remember when I was a student studying at Stellenbosch, with Mike and Paul and these guys, exam times, man, the church is full, you know. Then we really have to be at church because there's a need. A lot of guys are in trouble now and now we need to really see God here, okay. Jock is smiling, I don't know why. Maybe he was one of those. I was one of those as well. But guys, we need to be serious with ourselves. How long can you really stay focused? Do we pray 20 minutes, 25 minutes? Is that a lot or is that not a lot for you? Do we stay focused? I know, especially when I was a younger Christian. You know, I prayed for some time and I'm not very long. I'm catching myself. My mind is drifting. It's drifting. I'm thinking about life, and I'm thinking about work, and I'm thinking about time, and I'm thinking about myself, and then I have to bring myself back. And I believe there's a lot of discipline that we as a church can grow in terms of being focused and spirit-led, and not just praying the Afrikaans word, skietgebekies. Nah? You know, those short prayers that we really want them to be powerful because we are really in need of something, especially power. It's questions we need to ask ourselves in terms of the church and where we stand with prayer. A beautiful, powerful, once again, every scripture is beautiful. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, the spirit-filled chapter in the Word of God, Paul is writing and he says there, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." And then there's a but. I usually highlight it. It says, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Amen? Paul writes and he says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, I believe all of us can testify that before we came to Christ, you know, some of us did add a little bit of Christian culture in us, so we did pray a little bit here from time to time, but it was usually those prayers about me, myself, and I. You know, my own life and my own issues and my budget and my wife that I want. And yeah, I was actually saved when I started to pray for my wife, by the way. But when I didn't know the Lord, my thoughts, my mind, my heart were set on the things of the flesh. Amen? Were you the same? Okay? God's kingdom and what was happening in the church, it wasn't my concern. That's not where my heart was. It wasn't where my mind was. But Paul writes, and then there's a big but. He says, but those who live according to the Spirit, those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The Spirit helps us to put our minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. We all know about a lot of things happening in the church and the kingdom, but just as I sensed in my heart this morning, prompted by the Holy Spirit, do not just say, Lord, have my heart, have my mind, I will obey, I will commit. There's accounting the cost there. Because most of us are here this morning because you stood up and brushed your teeth and had a meal probably, got into your car or however, what way you got here. You planned and now you're in church because of decisions you made. We need so much more discipline. Because something I'm seeing in Swakopmund especially, and we don't have a perfect church, is the church is growing, but the people praying, especially in the context of the new church, I don't just see a lot of people, eyes praying. I saw the church praying. The church was praying for people. The church was praying for Paul. Paul was praying for the church. It was a us. It was a we thing. So as the church is growing, it's important to see that the people who set their minds on the things of the Spirit will help us with that, is also increasing. You don't want a church of 500 people and 10 people go to intercession. That's a problem. Then the church isn't growing in terms of kingdom focus, in terms of having the heart of Jesus. Do you agree? So we need to ask ourselves serious questions inside the church. 2 weeks ago, we had Pastor Heinrich Titus, our senior pastor, during the prayer and the fast. And one of the points he made very clear is he said, we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for ourselves as well. Sometimes we look at the big bad world out there and we want to pray for them because we see all the brokenness and hurt and sin and stuff. But guys, there's a place where we need to pray for ourselves as well and say, Lord, change our hearts. Lord, give us more capacity. Give us more room to love you. Okay? Because this scripture that says, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. It's wonderful to say amen to that, but do we really live that? Last night I was talking to JP and, you know, we're just having fellowship and, you know, somewhere in the conversation it just came up, you know, where we agree that we don't just want to talk about empty, worldly stuff. Those things cannot fool us anymore. It's the kingdom and the calling of the kingdom, you know, the love and the passion for Christ. One of our core values is passion for Jesus as the church. Okay, and we can't just say amen to that and then we just pray a little bit here and we pray a little bit there. So I want to challenge us to regularly in our own prayer life say, Lord, help me to put my mind, focus my mind on the things of the Spirit. The Spirit will help us with that, but we can quench him. We can be very busy. We can be busy with a lot of things in life. We need to say, Lord, this time slot, I mean, when you walk and when you drive and when you shower, you can pray. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray with words, with understanding. It doesn't matter. But we need to have time and to budget for time, especially as the church, and say, I will pray with the saints. I will come into unity and agreement. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for this church. I'm going to pray for this town. And I'm going to pray for this nation. Why? Because I want to see God's kingdom come. That was the heart of Christ. Let's read as we continue this morning. When Jesus started in Matthew chapter 4, and he said, repent. Jesus began ministering. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven has come near. There was a new dispensation coming through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Things were changing. Salvation came near. Jesus came near. We saw the signs and the miracles and the wonders and the birth of the church. Okay? And Jesus was talking especially from Matthew chapter 4 till Matthew chapter 7. Awesome, rich, part of the Word of God, the whole part, that whole portion of Scripture, he's talking kingdom. He's talking about his Father's kingdom. And inside of that, we see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. Be not like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God is sovereign. God is a good God, you know. So I guess I don't have to pray that much, because God, in any case, knows what I need, and he will do whatever. God is, in a sense, he's an autopilot. Is that the truth? Is that what we see in the New Testament? Okay, there's no laws, there's no guidelines that I know about that says you should pray 7 times a day and it must be at least 20 minutes per session. There's no rules like that. Why? Because it's about relationship. I'm not praying because the pastor says so. I'm not praying from a place of guilt. I'm praying because a place of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of having a relationship with Christ, of myself coming to Christ, being born again, being transformed into a new person, my mind renewed, not being perfect, as my wife, my good, precious wife, okay? But it's something, it's a road I'm walking. And every year I see myself having a deeper love for the kingdom of God. And when Jesus is speaking, he says, don't just stand there and use a lot of words, okay? Because he repeats that phrase a little bit later in Matthew 6 again. Of course God knows. Of course God knows about when Christ is coming back. We cannot catch God with anything, okay? But as we will continue this morning, we will see the church need to pray, okay? So Jesus uses the words and he says, don't pray like that. Don't pray like the Gentiles, just using a lot of words. And then Jesus knows the Father's heart, fully God, fully man. He gives us a key. He gives us advice. He says, pray like this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 10 onwards. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so don't just pray with a lot of words standing there. He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And this sermon isn't about the Lord's Prayer this morning. But right after the hallowed be your name, Jesus said we should pray for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done on earth as it is already in heaven. Because in heaven it is perfect. Okay, God's will is perfect there. So he said we must pray for his kingdom to come. You know what? The guy greeting me at the door, the person serving there at the back, the lady with the making the tea, people who set up church, those who are reaching out, those who are doing kiddies church, those who are helping at Bible school, those who are planting a small group, those who are facilitating a small group, those who are leading the worship, through every little bit of that, we see God's kingdom coming. Are you excited about that? Are we really praying that much about that? Is it our heart's desire, or is it when sometimes we get stirred a little bit that we say, "Yeah, God, of course, we want you to see your kingdom come"? How much is it something burning in our hearts? Jesus gave his life. Okay. Jesus was passionate to see the kingdom come, and whenever I hear in our own, we should celebrate the small steps. As I say, when a small group multiplies, when someone gets baptized, we baptize, I don't know how you guys do it, but we try and baptize them in a little swimming pool at church. Every one single person that is baptized, it's a victory. We're seeing the kingdom of God coming. Amen? And we need to pray for that. Because in the rest of the chapter, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is challenging the people. And he says to them, we should have our treasures rather in heaven than on earth. Okay, and then he says, you know, because depending on where your treasures will be, there your heart will be. And in that same sense, and I just need to ask us as the church, where is our heart really? Let's not take it for granted to say, I'm with the church and I'm praying, etc. Does it show in the fruits of my life. It's something I'm challenging myself and my family as well in this area. Then in verse 32, when Jesus say in verse 31, therefore do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And then once again, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom. But first, seek his kingdom. Okay? It's something, you know, sometimes when we want to break a bad habit, we want to put something on the mirror or in your car, or if you need to be reminded, we've got phones that is amazing these days, can remind us all the time about stuff. But you know, I think so much of the time, we need to grow in this and say, God, your kingdom first. God, your kingdom first. Church or this, God, your kingdom first. Because sometimes we say, God, yes, your kingdom is a priority to me. But Jesus said, put it first. Not just there somewhere, first. Okay? Now, I know, and maybe I can share it with you this morning. I hope you can rejoice with us, because I know there's guys in our church that is excited about what is happening on your side. But you know, in 2011, getting my centuries mixed up. That's a bad mistake. In 2011, we started with the process of applying for property in Swakopmund, and we went through a whole lots of stuff until there was a property that was zoned for church or religious purposes, and we were in a position to buy the property. And then about a month or two ago, we started with the groundworks for building our own church. It's something that we are really excited about, because we believe it will be a platform. We believe it will be something God is doing. Okay, and we've got a lot of confirmation. But it's a giant in many ways for us to build that a lot of million dollars church. Can I tell you a surprise? We don't have all the money. So I'm not here to ask for your money this morning. Relax, okay? I'm not sent for that, okay? But I just know we do have a little bit of money. And there's a few options that we have, etc. But you know what? Can I say it like that? I can't say if I were God, because that's suicide to say if there's something like that. But I just wonder if God is looking down at us as the church, and he's just asking himself, but how seriously want this church really want this building? You know? Because it's a lot of money. And I'm not talking 1 million or 2 millions, a lot of money that we need, okay? So can God help us? Oh yeah, for sure. I believe that. But when we turn it upside down and we ask ourselves, how passionate are we as the church to pray and say, God, we really seek you here. God, we really seek your kingdom here. God, we really want to see this thing happen. Because if we just had, let's say we needed 10 million and we had $9.5 million. Where is the testimony in building the church? Because I know it's not just about a church. I know and I believe that God wants us as the church to grow in this whole process. He wants us to mature. It's not about the church. He wants us to seek him first, to put him first in terms of relationship. Now, this isn't a place where we can just have a lot of projects and raise funds and stuff. I'm very sure that we will not be able to build this church if we don't grow in our prayer life. Do you agree with that? God is not going to let us come away cheaply, if I can put it like that. We're going to have to see God here to kill this giant. It's not like that missionary fake story I told you about, this missionary who prayed here and there, happy-go-lucky, just a minute or two, and then amazing things happened. No, God is going to teach us to pray here. And I believe it must be something corporate. If there's only 10 people who wants to pray for the church, I think God is going to say, wait a bit. I've got a lot of time. I will wait for you until you really learn to pray corporately and to seek me here. that you will ask me and that there will be a testimony where we can, the day that that church is finished and built, that we can say, hey, it wasn't the pastors or the leaders of this church or because we are wealthy, because we aren't wealthy, but it was because we put the kingdom first, because we seek God here, and there was a victory because of prayer. We're going to have to grow in this area. It's not something we are battling in the natural. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, you probably know the scripture very well. It says, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Guys, we are humbled so often where we know in our own lives, in our own jobs, in our own marriages, in our own families, there's very often circumstances that we cannot overcome in our own strength. Am I the only person who have ran into the wall in that sense? No. But we serve an awesome, awesome, powerful God who's the beginning and the end and the Alpha and Omega. And this whole word of God testifies about the Father that He is, about His glory, etc. Okay? And when this scripture says, nor by power, but by my spirit, I know that like 1,000 years ago when the Christ fathers, what, the Crusaders, okay, Crusaders, yes, when they went and they battled guys with the spear and the sword and a shield, you know, when God's kingdom is to come, we don't go to Botswana and we say, Botswana, here we come with the swords and the shields and the stuff. Now we're going to kill a few bad guys for the kingdom of God to come. No, it comes through prayer. It comes through the word of God. It comes through the good news. It comes through Jesus Christ saving people, baptizing people, filling them with the Holy Spirit, being transformed into His image from that mind that is set on the flesh to the mind that is set on the things of the Spirit, the mind that is, the translation says, that pleases the Spirit, okay? And one thing that is central in all of that is the foundation of prayer, okay? When we go to Ephesians chapter 6, awesome piece of scripture, we see there, and I'm not going to go into much detail, maybe your awesome pastor can preach some time a little bit on that, but we see there's a battle. We see there's a spiritual battle, and as I just said, we know we're not going to win through swords and shields and Namibian dollars and things like that, okay? It's going to be through the hearts and the prayers of the saints, of the church. And Paul says there, he writes there, when we just continue a little bit to answering and to look at the pattern of the New Testament, what do we see? Do we see Paul or John? And I'm not even going to have time this morning to touch on Jesus Christ and when he prayed and how he prayed and what he prayed for, okay? But we know, never, as I said, Paul and John and James or Peter, none of them ever said, ach, you know what, church, whenever you feel a little bit like it, pray and see what happens. Maybe there's good luck on your side. No, there's nothing like that. It's seeking God with a sincere heart. And Paul says here, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Okay? Praying at all times in the Spirit. What do you understand in terms, what does all times mean? Not just the 5 minutes here and the 5 minutes there. He says it must be part of our life. It shouldn't be just something on a Sunday morning before church we do. It should be something that is part of our lives. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. He says, we always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. Paul, understanding the things of the kingdom, Paul, who had this amazing encounter with Jesus Christ, Paul was taken up, if I'm correct, to the third heaven, who saw things that couldn't be uttered. Paul, who had this lots of amazing experiences, being resurrected after being stoned and experiencing so much stuff in God's kingdom. Here he says, and he writes, he says, we always thank God for all of you, and we pray for you constantly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, Paul writes in that same chapter and he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And then he says, listen to the English, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Only in one letter. All right, in Ephesians, Paul said, praying at all times in the Spirit. In first, I think it's in chapter 2 or 3, in First Thessalonians, there's another reference to always praying, to praying a lot, to keep on praying. If we continue to Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 6, we see there right at the start of the early church, Acts chapter 2 verse 42, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. They were devoted to prayer. Paul writes and he says, pray without ceasing, pray in the Spirit, night and day, okay? And here he goes in Acts, right there in the early church, and they devoted themselves to those four things, among which of them was prayer. We need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, and guys, hear my heart this morning. It's not to condemn or to judge or anything. I'm just asking us, ourselves, we need to ask ourselves as the church, how central is prayer? And I'm not in the context of our church and in the context of first seeking the kingdom, because that was Jesus' heart. Matthew 4 to Matthew 7, when he taught us, don't pray like the Gentiles, but pray for God's will. Pray for his kingdom, okay? And here in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, it also says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I'm asking myself, Carl, as a husband and as a father, as someone serving the Lord Jesus Christ, how devoted am I? Can I be devoted to pray and to study the word, and then I just pray a little bit here and there, a few minutes here and a few minutes there? Will we see people come to Christ? Will we see God's kingdom really coming if we are not devoted? Romans chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, once again Paul is writing and he says, God knows how often I prayed for you. You know what? It's about 19 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord that Thursday afternoon. And you know what? I gave my life to the Lord. I got born again. Got Spirit-filled. Amazing thing happening on that Thursday afternoon in my own life. And that Friday night, I had a good friend of mine there at Stellenbosch. We used to go catch fish together. That Friday night, about 8 o'clock, he phoned me and he said, and I thought Philip is going to ask me, don't you want to go fish on Saturday morning early? And he said to me, as we were young men in our early 20s, students, he said to me, Carl, congratulations on the decision you made. I heard you gave your life to the Lord. You know what? I prayed for you. He prayed for me. We were kind of friends, but he was praying for my salvation. How many of us are sitting here because of fathers and mothers and family members and people who gave their time, who seek the kingdom and say, I want Rikus in the kingdom. I want Vincent in the kingdom. Lord, I desire to see Liesl come to Christ. And it changed my life at that moment. I didn't thought this guy would be praying for me. It's so unselfish. Take your time and to pray for someone else. And that it impacted my life. It helped me to see that it's not just about me and myself and I, but Lord, I want to see your kingdom come. And how rich is the reward when we see someone coming to Christ and I can say, God, I invested somewhere in the past 10 years, maybe an hour or 20, in prayer for that person, that child, that parent, that teacher, that boss of mine, whoever. That's the reward. Our reward will not be in this world. It will be in heaven. But we need to seek the kingdom first. And here Paul writes and he says, God knows how often I prayed for you. Day and night, I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. You know what? This verse challenges me so much because I have to ask myself, Lord, how much am I praying for the worship team? How much am I praying for my small group facilitators, the people doing Kiddies Church, the ushers, the town, people I know? And then sometimes we are surprised when not a lot of stuff is happening in the kingdom. I believe that the Lord is challenging us to go deeper in prayer. To say with Paul, you know, because God will know. Are we praying? I'm not saying you need to never sleep or work. But Paul set this example. When we look at the early church, all these verses I use now in 1 Thessalonians, Romans, and Acts show me about Christians and leaders and the church that was really praying, really having a heart to see God's kingdom. Will you allow me to have a sip of water? Say to someone next to you, do you want to see God's kingdom come? Yesterday morning, I was walking here in your big, large mall in the Grove, and me and my family, we were looking for a few things that we couldn't find there at the coast. JP, we'll talk about the sheep stealing when you're away. We marketed Swakopmund a little bit, but we'll have that conversation later on. But you know what? One of the reasons why we are here this weekend is one of my sons got a gift that I didn't have. Man, he can run. He can run and he doesn't grow weary. I cannot. When I run, I get tired. Okay? So we were here for the NAPSU private schools athletics, and my one son, Alvin, he ran the 1,200 and the 800 meters. You know, he won gold medals and break records, and I'm so glad because I can say I've got nothing to do with this. It's all his mom's good genes, I guess. But as a father and my wife and my father and my stepmom, you know, as we were looking at him, we all were crying in a sense because of joy, because it's our child and we're excited when our children does well in life, okay? But I'm his father and I was probably, me and my wife and granddad, you know, we were so excited. But yesterday morning while I was there in the mall, I walked into the sport coordinator of the school that is in Swakopmund. And I walked up. Now, this lady has got a passion for sports and children and athletics, of course. That is why she does what she does, or do what she do. And I walked her up and I say, yo, Florinda, you know, it was such a blessing to be here. And I'm so proud of my son, my son. But she starts to have tears in her eyes. And she said, wow, I was so excited for him, the way that he kept on running and the zeal and the passion, and she knows how hard he practiced. And there she stood and she was crying, and now I'm always like looking up and I don't want to start crying there in Sportsman's Warehouse. But you know this, it's because of passion inside of her heart for children and for sport. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm just challenged when a other lady is getting tears in her eyes because of my child who can just run a little bit. We are the church, and how excited do we get about the kingdom of God? Where's Clarence? You can slowly come here to the back, please. You know, how excited are we? How often do we get tears in our eyes? How often are we moved to stand still and say, Lord, this mind that is set on the things of the flesh, I rebuke you. I want to put my mind on the things of the Spirit. Spirit, help me. Lord Jesus, I want to have tears in my eyes because I want to be awake day and night because I want to see your kingdom come. I want to pray for that because how do I make the kingdom come just in the natural? Will we see the kingdom come just in the flesh? No, I don't believe so. God has given us a key, which is prayer. And as I reflect all the time, JP, it says there, prayer and victory, but you should change it. Victory through prayer, I believe, okay? We will have the victory through prayer. And we will see the kingdom come through prayer. And I believe it's something where we need to we need to test ourselves and say, we can laugh and we can cry about a lot of things in this world. But Lord, this morning, I need to be serious. And I, me, myself, because I know in my own life, God is challenging me and He's taking me to a new step to pray and intercede for stuff that I know I cannot fix in the natural. Stuff that I know I cannot fix with my hands or my intellect or with anything like that. Now, yes, there's sometimes you need to give someone a hug or you need to sow something. That's important. But when we want to see God's kingdom come, we cannot neglect prayer. We cannot be cheap on that. We cannot just say, Lord, I will pray a little bit here and there. There's something in our hearts. And I believe God is challenging us as the church. And we need to say this. And I need to ask you this morning, because that's what I feel the Spirit is leading us. I need to ask us, is there more room in your heart? Is there meer plek in your heart for oggend? Can we pray a prayer together and say, Lord, enlarge my heart? You know, and when God is busy in our hearts, it's always a little bit challenging. It's always a little bit painful. Amen? Okay? When God is doing a work here, it comes through friction. Okay? It's not just that easy. But it's not something I can just say you should do or must do. It's not something that will just happen. It's something where I myself have to raise my hand and say, Lord, I wanna grow in prayer. I want to seek you more. I want to pray more for specific things. But in general, Lord, I want to see your kingdom come. That was the heart of Christ. He said we should pray, God, let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. I need to ask us, maybe you can all just close your eyes for a moment. As you sit here, just close your eyes for a moment. And just reflect on your own prayer life for a moment. The things we are praying for. The things that 10 or 20 minutes a day that the average Christian maybe prays. What is it filled with? How focused are you in that time of prayer? Is the kingdom of God, seeking Him, is that central? Is saying, Lord, let your kingdom come. Is that the heart that you pray with? Maybe I need to challenge you this morning and say, maybe some of our minds are still set too much on the things of the flesh. Maybe we need to pray and say, Lord Jesus, help me, deliver me in a sense of this fleshly, worldly mindset so that the Spirit can help me to set my mind on the things of the Spirit, that my heart will be circumcised, that I will be in a place where I say, Lord, I want to be a vessel, but I want to be a vessel for prayer. Lord, I want to come to the table this morning. I want to come and I want to give my mouth and my heart. I want to bring it and I want to say, I want to pray with the saints. I want to pray. I want to be in one accord. I want to be devoted. I want to be in unity. And I want to stand with my brothers and sisters in this church. And I want to see victories through prayer. I want to see this town, and I want to see people's lives, and I want this nation to be changed. And we're not going to do it with our muscles. It's going to come through prayer and through seeking God. And for some of us, it's going to take a lot of small steps in order to take a big step and say, God, here I am. Use me. Lord, here I am. Here's my voice. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Because I want to be like Paul. I want to be devoted. I want to have discipline. I want to have persistence in my own life. Lord, I want to have focus in my life regarding prayer. This morning, how much place is there in your heart? And I believe as we are here this morning, while all eyes are closed, I just want to ask the simple question this morning, are you willing to say to God, God, give me a bigger heart to love you, to love, to be passionate about your kingdom, to be passionate about prayer? If you are here this morning, and you feel the Holy Spirit is stirring inside of you, if you feel your heart is beating faster, if you feel that maybe it's time that I take a few steps, maybe you are still a young Christian and you don't know about praying in the Spirit, etc., then I want to challenge you to speak to Pastor JP. But if you are here this morning and you know not the person here in the pulpit, but the Holy Spirit is challenging you, in a sense, to man up and to say, God, here I am. Enlarge my heart, that I've got a bigger heart for your kingdom. Can I just see, by the show of hands, are there some of you that are really challenged by the Holy Spirit to pray more? Thank you. Father God, as a church and the church, we come before you. Lord Jesus, without you, we are nothing. Nothing, nothing. Without you and your Spirit, we can do nothing, completely nothing. Lord, it's not about our skills and abilities, about our muscles, Lord. It's about your Spirit, Lord. Not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit, Lord. Father, you see our hearts. You know what we need. You know our thoughts, Lord God. You know our fears, Lord God. Lord, you know what challenges us. But Lord, this morning I pray for every person here, especially every person who raised their hand and say, Lord, I'm willing to give more. I'm willing to be open for heart surgery. I'm open here. I'm willing this morning, Lord, to take action, to be proactive in my prayer life. Lord, you see our hands. It's not for the pastors or the leaders or anyone to see. It's for you. And if you are here this morning and you raise your hand and you say, Lord, I want to commit. I want to be devoted to prayer. Right where you are, just where you are this right now, I'm just going to give you a small moment. And just where you're sitting this moment, God sees your heart, He knows your mind, your thoughts. I just want you, in your own words, in your own context, within your own abilities, to pray to the Lord Jesus and say what you are willing to do, what you are willing to give, how many steps you are willing to take, and to say, God, this morning, like melt on. Lord, I'm coming to your kingdom in a new way, through as a prayer warrior, as someone who wants to see your kingdom come through prayer. I'm just going to give you a moment right where you are, and you just share your own heart and what the Holy Spirit is leading you this morning in regarding prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the prayers of the saints this morning. I thank you for childlike prayers, Lord. I thank you for honest prayers this morning. I thank you for something you are moving in the heart of this church towards being a church that is just growing stronger in prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will bind hearts together in the next weeks to come. People that will be moved to pray to a greater extent. Lord, I pray for breakthrough, for us to see your kingdom. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so faithful.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.